This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal-mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ayyuhal ikhwatul kiram, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Wa nas'alullah ta'ala an yataqabbal minna wa yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir anna sayyi'atina wa an yarzuqana bi'ilman nafi' wa rizqan wasi'. وعملا صالحا متقبلا وهو حسبنا ومولانا فنعم المولى ونعم النصير عليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Peace and blessings on His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, after saying sending peace and the mercy of Allah on you all, we ask Allah to accept from us, to forgive us, to wipe away our sins, to nourish us with knowledge and understanding, which is beneficial to us, and give us wide sustenance. He is the one we rely on. He is our guardian. And what an excellent guardian, what an excellent helper Allah is. Glory be to Him. To Him is our return. On Him we are utterly dependent. Have tawakkal in. There is no power and might except that of Allah. Glory be to Him. Returning to our hadith for, I think it's the fourth session on hadith number 26. As I was saying to Zafar here earlier, I could do these hadith one, give each one an hour or half an hour. And I remember when I started the Arba'in Nawawiyah, I said to you, well, if you want that, it's absolutely fine, because there's lots available on YouTube and there's other people doing it. And stuff are written, which are quite brief, yeah, and gives you a gist. But my purpose wasn't that. My purpose was to do an encyclopedic kind of journey through these ahadith, yeah, which has been done in writing, but in presentation, in Arabic perhaps it's been done, but I haven't found it really in English. So I wanted to give it to people who are students of knowledge of Islam, who want to go deeper and find the deeper gems and jewels, as has been done before, as I said, in writing classical texts from Jawami al-Hikam of Ibn Rajab, which we've been referring to, and also Imam Tufi's At-Ta'yin, the unique one, in doing the tashrih or exposition of these ahadith. And of course, so the idea was to go deeper and add to it and make it relevant as well in taking the lessons in our society. Yeah. It is good to look at classical texts always, because they give you, you can't discard them. I'm not one of those who say, oh, because this scholar, I don't agree with some of this particular opinion, so we bin everything that they say. That is so narrow-minded and dangerous, because there is no scholar from the greatest of scholars, from Sahaba, Tabi'een, and beyond till this day, who didn't make a mistake in their istihad. Yeah? That's why Abdullah ibn Abbas, Imam Malik as well, is reported as saying the same thing. That we, yeah, everyone, every human being, and they're talking about people of knowledge of Islam now, can be taken to task and differed with and disagreed with, except one. وَهُوَ صَاحِبُ هَذَا الْقَبْرِ. And that is a person in this grave. They're speaking in Medina. Imam Malik was teaching in Masjid al-Nabawi in Medina. Yeah. And Ibn Abbas is reported to have said the same. Yeah. So Of course, therefore, you had difference of opinion from Sahaba. But you don't have a difference of opinion with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you have that potential for difference, therefore, not everything that any scholar that you could is going to be have opinions that you agree with. Yeah, whether you're people of knowledge or more likely, but with the arm and the public, less likely because they're really not going to know. Yeah, where there's the intricacies of ijtihad, they're not meant to know. Yeah, they can follow whoever they want as a scholar who they rely on. Yeah, with the objective is I want to get to the truth and the best of truth. Yeah, not blindly either, because they're going to have to answer for themselves on the day of judgment as to why they blindly followed somebody. Taqleed is always negative, really. Taqleed means blind following. Yeah. And yes, we said that students, the public, Muslim, they're not expected to learn ijtihad, go directly to Quran and Sunnah for Islamic rulings and to get deeper knowledge, that they go to scholars. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ as Allah SWT says. Ask people, yeah, of those people of knowledge if you do not know. Yeah. And that means also, if that's the case, there must be people of knowledge to be able to ask. Yeah. But you ask with an attitude of asking questions to ask for evidence as well, not just accept anything. Taqlid to say that, oh, we follow what our forefathers did is the way of the mushrikeen. That's how Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes not just the shirk. He criticizes Allah the approach of getting knowledge and relying on it as being, oh, it's what our forefathers said. That's taqlid. So he criticizes the method as well, yeah, as jahil, as being ignorant. Yeah, this is the way of ignorance. Yeah, we'll just do what was handed down to us. Yeah. So coming back to the idea was to go deeper into it, look at even not discard the classical works, because there's jewels and gems in those classical works, I tell you. Yeah. Whether I studied fiqh or of the scholars of the past from the madhahib, yeah, from their books, or whether I studied this and these ahadith from the classical works, jewels and gems in them, but I don't agree with everything they say. If I was just to present to you what they said, then you'll be left in space somewhere, because they lived in their time and they're talking and writing as I'm talking in my time. Yeah. The times we're talking about, there's no cars, there's no aeroplanes. It's a totally different society. How can I just talk in the past like that? So one side of it is to just talk in the past. Yeah. And the other side of it is to discard all the past and just talk as though you're the first scholar who arrived on the face of the earth, which is nonsense. Yeah. As famously, it reminds me, and many Muslim scholars said the same, Isaac Newton, when he was asked about how he reached these heights in physics, yeah, and his laws that he came with, he said, I stood on the shoulder of giants who went before me. That's humility, isn't it? Yeah. Even though you come with something completely new, but it's built on something. Yeah. So the balance is to build on something, yeah, and be critical in your thinking and make it relevant for today. And then of course, the idea of depth of Ibn Rajab gives to these ahadith and the likes of Imam At-Tufi and Al-Haytami in his works. These are the most famous works that are comprehensive. There are many volumes, yeah? And the idea is not just superfluous, because it goes back to the Quran and the Ahadith of Prophet are full of deep gems, aren't they? The verses. Yeah. Therefore, we have tafasir from the Quran. Because the Prophet was given the virtue of being Jawami al-Kalim. Yeah. Jawami al-Kalim. Which is brevity of speech with deep and wide meaning. As we see in this hadith, each hadith, sometimes under it are so many chapters and headings that you can open up, can't you? And if you don't, you can just skim over them, which is fine. But if you want to discover the jewels, you've got to go a little bit deeper. Yeah, the jewels are there still. Even if you take a vibe, if you take a half an hour thing of this, these ahadith, you'll still have jewels. I'm not saying you're not going to get any. Yeah, but there'll be others which are left. It's all a matter of how deep you want to go and how much you want to think and be critical in the thinking and see what's actually there, isn't it? Yeah. So the Prophet ﷺ, Jawami al-Kalim, brevity of speech, was the Quran itself, but also his speech, the hadith. He was gifted, because you look at these words in this hadith and look how, and then I say we've done 4 hours, you know, we're on the fourth hour now on this hadith. It's a short hadith, but it's the topic of it, yeah? The topics under it that open up so many doors, yeah. So let me repeat the hadith again, and then we'll carry on approximately where we left off last time. That's the hadith of Abu Huraira and others, as we've seen other versions of it, yeah, when we opened the first session, yeah, of others as well, like Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha mentions similar hadith, and hadith of Abi Dharr as well. So this one, Abu Huraira, in Imam Nawawi's picked, which is from Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Yeah, he says that Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kullu sulama minan nas alayhi sadaqatun kulla yawmin tatlu'u fihi shams. Each, now sulama, we've already said the best translation and interpretation of that is from other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying every joint, yeah? 360 is mentioned in the hadith of Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, which is authentic. That every joint from human beings upon them is the duty of giving sadaqah every day the sum comes up, meaning every day. Yeah, it's an expression. So then it goes on. Ta'dilu bayna thnain sadaqah. To make peace between two people is a sadaqah. وَتُعِينُ رَجُلْ فِي دَابَّتِي فَتَحْمِلُهُ عَلَيْهَا. And to help a person on his or her mount, yeah, or to lift him or her upon the mount, yeah, or to lift up تَرْفَعُ لَهُ عَلَيْهَا مَتَاعَهُ صَدَقًا, or to lift his or her belonging onto the mount, in it is a sadaqah. There's three things there. Yeah, we'll come back to them. Well, kalimatu tayyiba sadaqah. And the good word is a sadaqah. Look how comprehensive that is. Wa bikulli khatwatin tamshiha ila salah sadaqah. And every footstep that you take towards salah, which means towards the masjid, yeah, in it is a sadaqah, the charity. Wa tumitu al-adha anit tariq sadaqah. And you're removing something harmful from the road or the path, yeah, in it is a sadaqah. Yeah, is a sadaqah. So last time we stopped at making peace between two people, towards the end of that. And the virtues in that, yeah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yeah, فَأَصْلِهُ بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Yeah, in Surah Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so make amends between your brothers and sisters, بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ, after mentioning warring factions of Muslims. Yeah, that's talking about a different level now. It's talking about fighting, actually. Yeah. Fighting. That to try and stop the... This is all to avoid breakdown in society. So it's giving you the extreme example of fighting, but everything under it is included, isn't it? To make good amends between people. Ta'dilu gives the idea justly. Yeah, justly. So, ta'adilu bayna thnain. And here in this hadith, The Quran gives the reference I've given you in the Quran is talking about believers in Hujarat. Yeah. So Baina Akhawaykum. And the context of Al-Hujarat is warring and fighting factions between believers. But the hadith is general than that, wider than that. Yeah. But because the idea of making peace is making peace between people, isn't it? We don't say make peace between Muslims and the non-Muslims, let them slaughter each other if they're your neighbors or living in your community. Yeah, and then you just clap. Is that right? How moral is that? And how immoral is that actually? Yeah, it's because actually in the end, Al-Ikhwa, brotherhood and sisterhood, begins with children of Adam. Yeah, Prophet ﷺ saying in the final sermon, yeah, when we did Sirah, yeah, when he says that no Arab is superior to a non-Arab and no non-Arab superior to an Arab, no black person over a white person and no white person is superior over a black person. All of you are children of Adam. So being children of Adam, and Adam was created from dust, clay, soil. Yeah. So all of us being children of Adam makes us brothers and sisters, doesn't it? What does that mean? Yeah. Or children of Adam. How that's mentioned by the Prophet so many times. Yeah. Yeah. So children of Adam, when you are children of the same parents, you automatically become brothers and sisters. So there's a brothers and sisters in humanity. And yes, there's specific added to that, special brothers and sisters in deen, which is so powerful, which takes priority and is stronger, no doubt, over the blood ties, actually. It really is. And then only if there's a difference in deen is stronger. But then when you are as believers, yeah, as believers, and then you have the blood ties, those blood ties now become a priority again. All Muslims, but your blood ties have a greater priority now. Yeah. So making peace between two people justly, yeah, means we're responsible in our society. In society of making peace between two people. And I mentioned in the khutbah, I mentioned in our circles before about the hadith to do with, yeah, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, whoever believes in Allah on the last day, which is, I think, hadith number 17 or 18 in Nawawi's, we covered it before. It says, fal yukrim jara, they should be kind and considerate to their neighbor. And we remember we said, Imam Nawawi said, the jar, the neighbor is the neighborhood. Yeah, in one, he says 40 houses that way, 40 houses in every direction. He's talking about his time, isn't he? Yeah, Imam Nawawi, he's talking about 7th century, are you? Hijra. Yeah, you're talking over nearly 700, 800 years ago, he's talking about in that direction. And then he also said, in your land, all of them are your neighbors. Now we've got cars and travel available. So you're talking about your community, aren't you? Is your neighborhood, yeah? So treat them well. Will that not include making peace between two neighbors who are quarreling? They may be non-Muslim. That's included in it, yeah? That's included in it. So ta'dilu bayna ithnayn sadaqa. And you know, as I said before, ta'dilu comes from adl. Yeah. So when it's saying justly make to act justly between two people is a charity, that's another way of translating it. Yeah, it means make amends, but do it justly. So actually, here is the idea of also the zalim and the mazloom, isn't it? Yeah. One is the wrongdoer, the perpetrator, and the other is the one who is the victim. So you interject to try and put the balance. The reality is, of course, often when you're making amends between people, there's a bit of zulm on both sides. If you ask one of them, usually people say, oh, I'm the victim, I've done nothing wrong. How often have I heard that in my life? From people near and far from me. The other party have done everything wrong to me and I'm innocent. You know, at times, people of one party have said, can't you sort something out between us? Yeah. So I've said, okay, yeah, potentially I can. Are you then, if you want me to an arbitrator, first I'll have to ask party B as well, the others, if they want me to interject and be an arbitrator to help sort of. Because if they say no, I'm not going to get anywhere. And they have a right. Because they might feel I'm biased. Or I'm not the right person. All right? But anyway, before I go to them, are you willing to accept your part if there's any negative mistakes? Are you willing to accept that as well? So the person said, but I haven't done anything wrong. I said, well, there you go. If that's going to be your approach, there is no way I can help here because you're innocent already by your own judgment. But an arbitrator is going to realize and listen to the other side, and you're going to have to listen to realize that perhaps you are innocent. Perhaps you are the mazloom, the victim. But usually there's a bit of this and a bit of that from both sides, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Really, there is. Yeah. So this is something about the intricacies of, and that why justice. Yeah, justice. If we take this on, then we're going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sometimes we trivialize and we think it's nothing, but we forget. If anything, Islam is about. Yeah. I remember I quoted a couple of weeks ago, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, don't look down on anything, yeah, even a small thing, as not being a source of sadaqah and charity. Yeah. So sometimes we think these little things, Allah's going to take us account for everything. If Allah's going to reward you and multiply your rewards for picking a thorn up from the road, yeah, then if you're going to be unjust in between talking to two people and also backbite, yeah, and slander somebody, then Allah's picking that up and the angel on the left is writing that as well. Isn't that right? This is the beauty of this deen. It penetrates every portion of your life and body. Not make it impossible. That's what I don't what I mean. But the salah makes you aware and conscious being, doesn't it? Which is the reality of who you are. Yeah. So this so-called scientism and atheism, they can't even answer what is consciousness? And when did it go live? Consciousness is a self-awareness of me and an awareness of my environment to be able to see and discuss, oh, look, the animals are fast disappearing. The snow is melting. Let's have a meeting. Let's decide on this. Which other being did that before the human being arrived? A small amount of it. Yeah. So the meeting in the chimpanzees was a basic meeting, but they had a meeting at least because they've got some consciousness. They haven't got it at our level, but they've got some consciousness. Have they? Zero. How did it go from zero to 100% that we've got? Or 100% we can realize at least. Yeah. There was no gradualness. It suddenly came with Adam and Hawa and insan. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. So that consciousness, that awareness, Islam just sparks it, sets it alight. Yeah. Because despite having the consciousness, can I live a life of a sheep? We talked about taqleed earlier, didn't we? We talked about taqleed, blind following in Islam. Now let's apply it to humanity. Human beings are full of sheep, are we not? Hence why adverts work so well. Advertising, doesn't it? They spend millions on it because we get taken in. Isn't that right? Yeah. Now I'm talking about consciousness being suppressed. Yeah? Adverts, programs. Yeah? You want to watch telly, social media? There's a constant brainwashing going on. Every film in Hollywood and Bollywood has an agenda that it's been made with. You can see how it's changed from the 60s and 70s to its moral values, what it's perpetrating now. Isn't it? To kill your conscience. Yeah? And there are people, whoever they are, they want to put their agenda and ram it down your throat. But they don't do it by turning up and saying, open your mouth, I'm going to ram it down your throat. Because that would be a bit obvious. But it's a much cleverer way. Yeah. You know, the French and Italians in colonialism were well known for the kind of people who turned up and said, open your mouth, I'll ram it down your throat. Read history. Isn't that right? Mussolini, the dictator, and what he did in North Africa in the Muslim lands, is well recorded. Yeah. And the French were also nasty with their colonialism. The British, usually, but not always, they are also wretched as well. Yeah. But sometimes they are also well known, as the Red Indians will tell you, white man speaks with folk tongue. They put that in their own films that they made from Hollywood. Yes, there's truth in it. Now, the white man comes, and that's not the French, actually, and it's not the Italians. It's usually the British who went there. And speak with a sweet tongue. Come down. We'll give you this. We'll do that. But it's folk tongue. Okay? So they're well known for this of, this is called cleverness, yeah? But a cleverness using sweet tongue for a nasty objective, not for adul, but for zulm, isn't it? Often British colonialism is like that, yeah? Is like that. Sometimes it's like chop the head off. There's plenty of that, yeah? Plenty of that. That's why Indians disappeared, Red Indians, whether in the North of America or the middle of America, and just almost wiped out, or even South America. Yeah, but the Spanish turned up as well. They were very similar to the French and the Italians. Yeah. And then when the British went towards Australia and what they did there as well to the Aborigines, etc. Why I mentioned that, it's not a tangent. The idea is of how you overpower the consciousness over others. Yeah. It can be done by the sword or the hammer or the gun, but it can also be done cleverly through. Now we have the weapon of social media and advertising. You don't need to send armies into the Middle East and the Muslim world. You're already succeeding. They're all watching the same films, aren't they? And the same social media now. Every child is carrying the same phone, watching the same YouTube videos. So what they're learning, they're of their values. And they're being brainwashed by this kind of thing. And they say, oh, no, we don't want to brainwash. Religions are brainwashing people. You're doing the brainwashing because you've done this to us. Yeah? As I mentioned in my khutbah, the audacity of the Germans to turn up, the football team, to do that in Muslim lands. Yeah? Remember, this is what they did. Yeah? Audacity. We're doing this every day. We can't speak our principles and values because we're suddenly being accused of hate speech, yeah? Under the guise of freedom of speech. Freedom of speech under the guise of that. Anyway, the point coming back to is how to consciousness, Islam raises the consciousness of human being and his moral values, his or her moral, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created insan for. He can live a life of a sheep as an animal, yeah, just following the animal instincts of devouring, taking for the self, and, well, I won't even say procreating, but because the animals do that, but human beings, you see, this is a human being difference again. Yeah, ours is not necessary to procreate. Yeah, but these are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam, he sent, didn't cancel them out, didn't tell us to become hermits and monks to go into the caves against our nature. But he also nevertheless raised the level of the consciousness that he blessed us with, yeah, to a level of care and morality and kindness and forgiveness and honest and justice and truth and against evil standing. That's real humanity, isn't it? Yeah. And Islam brings those out beautifully. And that's why I say it penetrates every avenue in the makeup of the human being as an individual and a family and a society, doesn't it? We fall short. Yeah. We don't look at ourselves as Puritans, yeah, and look down on others. But this is where to excel, isn't it? This is where to excel. And this hadith is telling you, how do you excel in sadaqah, isn't it? And the hadith before, even though you have no money. That's the previous hadith, isn't it? But you can excel in the way you deal and your kindness to other people and your environment, everything around you. You excel as a human being. And so that's why Prophet says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ أَوْ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ فِي رِوَايَةٍ. I have only been sent for the mission of perfecting and completing the makarim akhlaq, the best of morality, virtues and character, to make good and best the character, to complete it. The values are already there. All societies have them. He didn't say to introduce the makarim akhlaq, liutammima. So they were already there. Others can have them, but it takes them to a different level. Yeah, and it's excelling, isn't it? This is excelling. This is how we know how to excel before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves those who are doing these kinds of things and doing this in their life. Yeah. So, now, the second one is helping. Notice it says yu'inu rajul. Now if you translate it literally, what's the translation? You'll find it in your books anyway. What does it say? Suhail's got it there, a translation. To help?
To help him to mount it.
To help, what does it say? To help her?
To mount it or to lift his boots up.
Did it say to help a man?
Help a man, sorry.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at.
With his beast.
Yes. So literally, in Arabic, and I've done this before with you, so I'm just reminding you. Notice it says rajul. Rajul means man. In literal meaning. Yes? However, like the hadith, where it mentions seven people will be given the shade of Allah on the day there is no shade. And it mentions Rajul many times there as well. And I said to you at that time, does that mean only a man and no woman? Cannot mean that. Here, if you take a literal translation, does it mean to say if it's a man, then I get sadaqah because I'm helping a man? And if it's a mar'a, a woman, there's no sadaqah? Of course it doesn't. But language, everyday language and culture affects the everyday language of people and of the Prophet because he's a man of his time. So when he says to help a man, because usually most of the time out in the society, men are doing the business and going on camels. Women did as well. Yeah, majority time it's men. So the rajul, if you translate it properly to nowadays, would mean to help a person. Yeah? Nobody will say to you, no, it's only to help a man. And if it's to help a woman, you're not going to get any reward. I mean, nonsense, wouldn't it? What kind of... Yeah, so the better translation would be to say to help a person. Yeah. No, because they're doing, it says it here, it's because he's doing a literal translation. And they need to think when they translate. Yeah, especially in the kind of sensitive society you've got today now, which sees the word mankind as a problem. Yeah, mankind. Nobody ever had a problem with the word mankind. Nobody ever had a problem with Rajul here, no Arab, because they know what it meant. It meant human beings, yeah? But it became a problem with second phase feminism, etc., from the 60s. That's when it became a problem. It's not really a problem, because we know when we say mankind, that it means all of humanity, doesn't it? Everybody understood that. For centuries, they understood it. Why has it changed suddenly now? And now, of course, they went further in the last 40, 50 years to go to God. To Allah, yeah. So they said there's a meeting going on with the Christian priests now to discuss to remove the idea of he from God, yeah, because it gives a masculine image. And to use something which isn't he, but they're all right with using she. What kind of nonsense is that? Yeah. In society, the masculine in all languages, English and especially in Arabic, when the masculine is used, it covered male and female. But when you use the female, she, it definitely means she. So why is it? But you remove he, which actually for God is not masculine. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is non-binary. He is the only one who's non-binary. He created everything, as Quran says many times, in binary. So any human being who says now, I'm non-binary, you know what he or she is saying? I am God. Sorry, Google. You need to remove non-binary from one of the 30, 40, 50, is it hundreds now? I don't know how many it's got to as to what gender I am. Okay? What a load of nonsense and codswallow. Okay? Only Allah is non-binary. Yeah, even if he says he. Because he says there is no one like unto him and he doesn't give birth and he isn't born of anybody. Yeah, can't you get it through that the he therefore doesn't make a... Now, you can only use what's available in language for human beings. It was he or she. You're not going to use she because it definitely makes it into a gender, makes it feminine. SubhanAllah. Anyway. To help a person, yeah, onto the mount. That is helping them. But then he goes further on a kind of help mean to actually lift them and put them onto the mount. Two different levels, isn't there? And or to help with their belongings and put them onto the mount. So on the mount, of course, because there's no cars in those days, right? But there's still horses and camels around today. So it's still applicable, isn't it? Yeah. So we go to Morocco and say, and the children, the family say, oh, I want to go on a horse. I want to go on a camel. So to help somebody onto the camel is still applicable, isn't it? Camels and horses haven't died out. So you can't say this is not relevant anymore. It can be, yeah? And when they go out in the desert still, whichever country where they've still got camels, help them with their belongings as well. But it's still also applicable in its meaning to helping somebody into their car, isn't it? Yeah, onto the bus. Somebody's walking with a stick. Help, go and help somebody onto the bus. And when they're in a wheelchair, lift them out of the wheelchair and put them on. That's what it's saying. Help with their belongings, with their suitcases. Somebody who's all right, yeah, they're struggling with getting their bag on. Yeah, we're on the train or we're on the bus or we're outside waiting. We pick up their suitcase and put it on. Yeah, put it on. Yeah. in the plane, take it off, put it anywhere where you are. All of that applies. All of it is sadaqah. Look at the benefits. And therefore, don't, again, go back to the hadith where Prophet said, don't look down on however small the thing is, because, and actually, it's because I'm pleased in a way, but very saddened in a way, that if I do that nowadays for an elderly lady, she's in total shock, or an elderly man, that she or he's being helped in today's world. So that's positive in one respect, because I've made somebody happy, but it's a sad reflection of the society that we've become, isn't it? And now with all this nonsense about gender garbage that's going on, yeah, now people are actually reluctant to get up and give a seat to a lady. And some lady might say, what are you doing that for? You'll behave awkwardly. Best thing is to then sit down again, no problem. I ain't got a problem. But it's producing a society which where males are now reluctant to actually be helpful. All right? And even for the elderly, it's still okay, but you know, you're going to start having this idea of age phobia. Why? Do I look old or something? People be. So somebody trying to do good is being, anyway, I think we should still carry on. Make our seats available, yeah, for on the bus, on the train, or wherever we are, for the lady especially, and for the elderly especially, male or female, yeah, and for the pregnant, etc., etc. Isn't that right? So that kind of help. This is talking about. Just in society, isn't it? It's talking about strangers. And Allah's promising you a reward for it, as though you're given charity, multiplied many times over. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Oh, yarfa'u alayha," we've done that, belongings as well with that. "Well, kalimatu tayyiba." Yeah? Well, kalimatu tayyiba sadaqa. And the good word is a charity. Good word. So good word, and notice in the context of the hadith here. Because good word, if you take it out of the context of the hadith, can mean other things. The best word is la ilaha illallah, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Yeah? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. In Surah Hamim, Sajda, who is better? مَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا, who is better in speech? What better words is there than the one? دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ, than the one who is calling to Allah. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and he or she does good works. So in other words, they're not practicing what they preach. It's beautiful, the ayah. Just think about it, how Allah's put it. In it, inherently, saying, da'a ila Allah wa amila salih, calling to something good, to Allah, but also themselves doing the good. So they're not hypocritical, just doing da'wah to others. Yeah, yeah. Beautiful. Goes with the other verse, which is saying, lima taquluna ma la taf'alu. Why do you say that which you do not do? And many people haven't seen that. It's in this verse. Da'a ila Allah wa amila salihan wa qal, and he or she says, innani minal muslimin, I am from those surely who have submitted from the Muslims. It means those who have submitted. Yeah. So that's the best speech of saying, I am from those who have submitted. But in here, you could say la ilaha illallah is the best speech, but in this context, it's talking about a good word meaning to others. Look at the context. A good word means a good word for others. And part, man ahsanu qawl, who's better in speech, is da'a ilallah, is calling others to Allah. Yeah? Calling others to Allah. But good word is much wider than that. It's not mean every time I meet somebody, I'm preaching to them. Now look at the context of this society. Every time I meet my neighbor, I'm saying, God has made the day of judgment. Yeah. Right? You need to start being good. Get rid of your dog. You see what I'm saying? That's not what it's saying. Yeah? And you say, well, I'm doing that. That's the best thing I can do. Invite them to God. You know, there's a wisdom and context and a place and a time, isn't there? And more so than that, my words and character with the person is the best dawah. You miss that if you've really taken this so literally. So good word, it includes that, but a good word is good morning. How are you? Can I help you with anything? Yeah. Good words. Good word means being truthful to your neighbor and to your friend and to people at school, people where you work with. Good word means not backbiting as everybody else is doing in the teacher's room. Yes. And in workplace, what do they say? Bitching going on, don't they? It's the right word because we've all experienced, if you lived in the society, and I've lived and been brought up in it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I've worked in the society and work with people where people are working. Sadly, Muslims have taken on the same mantle of this garbage. Yeah. Wherever you find in lunchtime, in the breaks, people are doing backbiting, slandering, yeah, constantly. That's not a good word. A good word to say, actually, you shouldn't say that. And then move away. People don't listen. Yeah, good word. Good. That is, in other words, that's opposite to good word. I mention it because that's what people mostly do. So good word is speaking good of somebody. Good word is speaking good to somebody. Isn't it? Yeah. So this is words of kindness. Yeah. And that good word that I'm talking about general society. Yeah. Strangers. Yeah. Sitting on a train, sitting on a bus, sitting in a waiting room, you meet a stranger. I was sitting with my, getting for my car service. There's a guy there who was an elderly guy. There was two Japanese ladies and just chatting nicely, saying some nice things. Isn't that a good word? So if it's important to do the good word there, yeah, what about the home? What about with your wife and your husband? What about with your parents? Yeah. What about with the children? Yeah. And rather than losing it with the children and giving a smack around the ear roll and having a swear word or two and then say afterwards to the children, you know, you're not supposed to swear in Islam. Islam is a religion of peace, as they get the stick. The Maulvis, they did that for donkey's years. I'm sorry, many of them, not all of them, many of them. Actually, it was the majority. If you go back to our country, we know what they did. Yeah. Many have stopped, but not all of them. Okay. So giving the stick, and then normally they don't teach anything about Islam, just parrot fashion learning. And then when they do hear about it and they hear Islam is a religion of peace, you can only laugh at that. You know what? Oh my goodness. Good word and good behavior. When I look at this hadith and I look, and then people say, oh, you know, khutbah, you criticize Pakistan. And I know those who are saying it because they're nationalists. Yeah. Instead of, if we can't be critical of ourselves, and I'm doing it, I'm from Pakistan. If I was an Arab doing it, they'd have a bigger go at me, but they're less likely to have a go. Or I criticize Pakistan from the minbar. Well, I criticize it when people go and blow a mosque up with a bomb and kill a load of Muslims. What do you want me to do? Stay quiet? Because it's Pakistan. I can't say anything negative about Pakistan. That's not adult. Yeah, that's bias and prejudice. That's exactly what Islam hates. That's asabiya. Yeah, my people, they're always right. Yeah, let me criticize Syria and Egypt and the kuffar. Yeah, religion of peace, but we blow each other up. We're so wonderful. Yeah, and look, and this is relevant because this is talking about how we behave with each other. Just a few days back in Pakistan, and it was on their channels, ARY and G or whatever they've got, some poor guy, and we don't even have the full story, said something negative about the Quran or did something negative. He didn't burn it or anything. What did they do? You heard the story, some of you. Have you seen it? They took his clothes off. I've seen the videos of it that were shown on ARY Digital as well. They took his, the mob got him out of the police station while the police were still standing there. The mob became police, judge, jury, Molvi, Qadi, everything. And they took him out, dragged him out. No witnesses, no evidence taken, hearsay, yeah? And they dragged him and they made him naked and dragged him on the road in the street naked and beat him with sticks and stone and killed him. While they were doing that, I'm sorry I have to mention it, but I have to mention it, because if this is the Muslim Ummah, praise be to Allah who opened my heart to Islam. Because if I'd seen that as Islam from Pakistan, this kind of images, I would have run away from it miles and miles, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? And then these people say, Islam is a religion of peace. Yeah, you feel like slapping that person who says that after they're giving you that as an example. And while they were killing him, young and old, with sticks, having him naked, they were shouting what? Labbaik ya Rasulallah. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Yeah. That's all I can say to that. What kind of behavior is that? And they think they're following Islam. They think they're following Islam. So when you look at this hadith and others about how to behave with others, and you look at that, how far have we gone away from a religion as a finality sent Islam from the most merciful, the most compassionate, sent with rahmatan lil alameen, a mercy to the whole of creation, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sent the Quran as a message of mercy, and then we see that behavior from people shouting labbaik ya Rasulullah. I just can't fathom it. Yeah. No wonder we're in the state we're in. Yeah. And then you think people should come and embrace Islam in large numbers. Subhanallah, we're actually amazed that people are still embracing Islam. Yeah, in the West, despite the image that we're showing, yeah, in the Muslim world, isn't it? Yeah, it's. So it's so anyway, coming back. Al kalimatu tayyiba begins at home. Yeah, with parents, yeah, with husband and wife, with children, yeah, all the family. It starts at home. Charity begins at home. Yeah. So if you want to do good words, it's not right going to the mosque and saying, MashaAllah, brother, assalamu alaikum, how are you? Yeah, have an embrace and everything, and you go home, you go home in a nasty mood and start swearing at the children, slaps this and slap that, and treats the wife badly. Yeah, well, something's got some screws loose somewhere, because the greater priority was at home. Yeah, yes, we need to have good word outside as well, even outside the mosque, of course, especially. Yeah, but we forgot what's right under our nose, as they say, isn't it? And easily done. And most of the time when these hadith are discussed, They talk in a general sense, brotherhood, sisterhood, and society, and they never mention, hardly ever mention the husband and wife at home. I guarantee it for you, they won't. And the children at home, that it's actually in this hadith. Yeah, because you can't understand Kalimatul Tayyiba just from this hadith. You need to go back to the Quran and Sunnah, the rest of it, and see the priority parents and husband and wife relationship, which is based on sakina, mawadda, and rahma. Yeah, on mutual sakina, solace between them. That's the Quran, that's what it's saying. On love and on mercy. Now, when you've got love, sakina, and mercy, are you not going to have kalimatul tayyiba? You're going to have it there as a priority, are you not? Yeah. So, well, kalimatul tayyiba sadaqa. So much we need to reflect on, think about, and I've given you just general. I've not opened the topic of parents, and I haven't opened the topic of a husband and wife relationship, have I? Or children. I can say a lot more there, but that would be two or three more sessions. So, the point is, needs to be mentioned. Those areas are a greater priority. The priority and neighborhood and neighbors, you know, it comes out of the house, and the priority gets lesser and lesser the further away you go from the home. But the biggest priority of all the application of this is at home. And you're in your vicinity, isn't it? Yeah. And that includes, therefore, and I'm going to stop soon and we'll leave the rest till next time. That includes the financial charities. Praise be to Allah, the Muslim Ummah. One thing it is good is generous. The most generous community. All the surveys and research, even in this country, will show you the most generous community by far is the Muslim community. Yeah. But even in giving in that charity as well to far off places, etc., it is good for us, no doubt, the sadaqah. But don't forget what's right under the nose in doing that. It doesn't compensate for it. Yeah, cruel at home, not charitable at home, and charitable far away. Yeah, we need to get it right. Be charitable far away, no doubt we should be. Yeah, it's that's also sadaqah, but not at the expense, because it could all disappear on the day of judgment. Yeah, yeah. If salah and sawm and zakah can disappear because of bad behavior with strangers, can it? And I'll give you the hadith next time. Yeah. If it can all disappear on the day of judgment, then what about bad behavior with the ones who are the closest to you and the loved ones at home? It could all be cancelled out. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, help us. We'll next time. Go from the next clause mentioned here about every footstep towards the thing, and look at some of the other ones, and I hope we can complete it next time, inshallah. I keep saying that every week, I hope we can complete it next time. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Any questions from the people on Zoom and here as well, on what we covered today.
I really enjoyed it. Can I say, when we kalimize it, when you said, can we take it as not being a bad, saying bad in the society where you are sitting with the backbiting and keeping quiet rather would be a subject?
Keeping quiet.
Not saying bad, rather.
Yeah, I wouldn't say where there's backbiting and slander going on, keeping quiet. Because Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it. The one who listens to the backbiting takes part of it, because you're keeping quiet. So you need to speak and say no, or walk away. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. Because you... even in law today, now they say you become part of the issue if you stayed, didn't do anything. You were quiet. Yeah, I'm just quietly sitting there. Somebody's beating the hell out of somebody. Yeah, I become part of that problem. Isn't that right? So that includes the tongue. That's why I actually said earlier on, yeah, you tell them, no, you're backbiting. This is not right. Muslim or non-Muslim, I'd say it to non-Muslims. Because everybody knows backbiting is not good. Slandering is not good. Yeah. And even though it's become so convoluted to society, they actually love to publicize in the newspapers and social media their slander. Yeah. They seem to thrive on it. That's how upside down it's become. But we still have to speak the truth.
We have a question on Zoom.
Yeah.
Why didn't the Prophet leave the tafsir of the Quran?
Well, that's nothing to do with the topic. Why didn't he leave a tafsir of the Quran? Anyway, listen. Firstly, the Quranic verses, the Prophet teaching through, and if you look at Bukhari and Muslim, you'll find chapters on tafsir of the Quran. Not a complete one, but on verses that he talked about and the Sahaba asked about. Yeah. And then Sahaba understood the Quran. They taught their students as well. Yeah? And the Tafsir came with more detail later than that. Prophet didn't come down here to write books of encyclopedias of Tafsir. He was, I'll give you the answer to that. As Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha said, what does she say? He was a walking, talking Quran. That's his tafsir. Which is documented in authentic hadith.
Another question,
Sheikh.
Yeah. Would backlighting include reading things in the newspaper online about any person or celebrity?
Yeah, because not really, because until you've read it, you don't know it's a backbite. You're not accepting it, yeah? Unless you can make comments and say this is slander. But to enjoy reading those kind of things when you know that this is what they're going to do, you've got a problem. Because it's not good for the soul reading filth and slander, which is a lot of what's written, isn't it? She did that, he did that, she slept with him, he slept with him, now they're doing, you know, all this nonsense, yeah? So, to be continuously be busy reading these kind of articles is a problem for us. But to read it for the first time, realize this is all slander and backbite, no, that's not a problem. 2 minutes. We nearly finished. Yeah. Alaikum assalam. Any other question?
That's it.
Suhail, anything? Zafar, Barakallahu feekum wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We will najtami'u inshallah fi usbu' al-qadim nafs al-waqt wa nafs al-makan bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Tayyib, bi nafs al-hadith, the same hadith as well, same place, inshallah, same time. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum.